Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Today's episode of Darkness Radio is brought to you by Microdose. Get out of pain, get out of anxiety, and start treating yourself a little bit better. Try Microdose. Microdose is a CBD THC gummy that will get you out of pain, get you out of anxiety, and get you into feeling good again. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use the code DARKNESS to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com, code DARKNESS. Welcome in to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday. Cruiser and the Bruiser. That's irritating, isn't it?
I'm surprised you held it as long as you did.
That's what she said. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday. We got stuff going on today, folks. It has been a weird week in the supernatural, so we're going to cover that. We're going to try not to mispronounce too many names. You know, here's the thing. Folks,
then why do you keep getting Russian stories and English stories? And
yeah, you know, here's the thing, folks. If you think I care that much about mispronunciations, I don't. But if you're going to call me out online about mispronunciations, call me out about a legitimate pronunciation and mispronunciation.
Yeah.
I got called out about Rihanna. Rihanna. It doesn't matter. She doesn't care about it.
It's Rihanna, right?
It's Rihanna.
Yeah.
But she pronounces it Rihanna.
Oh, she does.
She does. That's what she claims the real pronunciation of her name is. Rihanna.
Did Rihanna actually call you out?
No, a guy online did.
Maybe it was really Rihanna.
But he was like laughing my emmering effer ass off. Tim blew it. He blew the pronunciation of Rihanna. Listen, here's the deal. I was spinning Rihanna. Notice how I'm saying it. Albums when she was still messing around with Chris Brown. Okay, so the fact of the matter is, the record reps came out and they pounded it into our heads. It's Rihanna. It's Rihanna.
Say, every radio DJ I've heard says Rihanna.
Last night on Entertainment Tonight, it was Rihanna.
On the Super Bowl, it was Rihanna.
That's right. You know why? And I'll tell you why, Bruiser.
Why?
It's because she can't go back to the islands and say Rihanna because they'll pull her card. The fact of the matter is, she can't go back home and say Rihanna. It's Rihanna.
Yeah.
I had a really good friend I worked at Ticketmaster with who was from Jamaica. Her name was Anna. It wasn't Anna. There's no such
and
thing.
And what'd you call her?
I called her Anna.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I didn't want to get slapped upside the head. I know where my bread's buttered. It was Anna. It was never Anna.
Right.
She had family in Jamaica and Barbados and in Trinidad.
I was say, because Anna is more of a Russian German name.
Yeah. It's Rihanna. And she says Rihanna because she wants to be different. So that's all it is. Don't worry about it, folks. I mean, it's okay. It's going to be all right. If you want to come at me with something, come at me because I'm a fat piece of shit.
That because you have bad grammar?
Yeah.
Well, it's not even grammar. It's a name.
Yeah. Just because
we all struggle with names.
Yeah, we all struggle with names.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, come at me because I got one good foot. That's a good one. You know. Challenge me. Challenge me on something better than you know, whether it's
Rihanna
or Rihanna. I mean, come on. You can do better than that. Come at me because, you know, they put Jell-O pudding where my heart was this past weekend. Now when my heart beats, it's a chocolate pudding fountain.
Hey, that's delicious.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
Your burps taste like chocolate?
They do. And now instead of hearing... Now you hear... So, yeah, come at me for that. But don't, Rihanna, nobody gives a shit. What's funny is nobody liked the status or nobody liked the post.
Yeah.
So nobody was like, yeah, Tim's a complete idiot because he doesn't know how to say Rihanna. I mean, nobody even backed his play. Which
I'll go back and I'll like it.
Okay, yeah, you go back and like it. So at least make the guy feel good. Because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm in such a pissy mood. You know what it is? I think they gave me a new heart while they were in there.
Your heart didn't grow 10 times bigger like the Grinch?
No, I think so. They gave me they gave me an asshole heart while they were in there. So it's the new Timmy. I have no idea. Supernatural news today, folks. We got some interesting stories out there. You know, we're still talking about spy balloons. I don't know why we are. Now the thing is, Bruiser, that we've we accidentally have popped somebody else's balloons.
Not China's?
No, it's not China's, and they're innocent people's balloons. So evidently we went after somebody's birthday balloons.
Well, if it's at 20,000 feet, you need to get shot down.
You know, I when Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I bought balloons for Super Bowl. I don't know if you remember, I had the, did I ever show you the inflatable Super Bowl dip tray I got from Party City?
No. Sounds amazing, though.
Dude, I'm going to send you a picture of it.
Okay.
This thing is the most amazing thing ever. What it is, it's an inflatable stadium, okay? And it's got little cardboard trays, and it's got like a little field that works as a mat for your hot dips. Or your little crock pots.
Yeah.
Okay. But you've got these little trays that will hold either chips or they'll hold just anything that you're gonna have holdable, and then you've got your mat in the center, which is a football field in the stadium for the hot dips. You can put napkins or forks or whatever, and this little stadium is the coolest thing ever, and it's inflatable. And it takes up an entire goddamn table. But it's huge. And
yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, and it's worth it. I don't want to say the price on it because it was obscene for just an inflatable little stadium, but I had to have it.
That you use once a year.
Yeah, that you use once a year, right. But I had to have it. I absolutely had to have it. I don't know what my point was to this whole story, but again, that's what happens when your heart is now made of chocolate pudding.
Yes.
But yeah, where was I going with this, Bruiser?
I have no idea. You lost me.
Yes. I bought balloons for it. Okay. So
the balloons. Oh, yes. They're shooting down other people's balloons.
Yes. They're shooting down other people's balloons. So what they do with this inflatable stadium is they have little permanent hooks or fixtures on the edge of the stadium for you to put Super Bowl balloons on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can hang them on the edges of the stadium.
Yeah.
So they've got they have three different hooks. They have on the north and south end of the stadium, and on the west end or east end, they've got permanent hooks. So you can put a Super Bowl logo balloon up, and you can put the opposing
teams
on each end of the Super Bowl end zones, right? So I thought this was pretty slick, right? So I went out and I got a Super Bowl logo balloon, and then I'm trying to remember who was it. It was Cincinnati.
You said the Bengals, right?
Yeah, it was the Bengals and the
Rams. No, not Rams.
I'm trying to remember who the other team was. I know
it. Who did Cincinnati beat?
Well, the Bengals didn't win that one, did they? Or did they? No, they didn't win that one.
No, they didn't win. Who won?
I'm trying to remember who won that one.
I don't remember either.
I don't know. It wasn't remarkable, was it? It's funny how those Super Bowls aren't remarkable after a year or two. Yeah. So I went to, and I got the balloons, and I was all excited. And okay, so I spent probably $40 on balloons because they never tie those damn balloons tight to the actual balloon itself. They just tie it real loose, right?
Yeah.
And it was a windy day here in Minnesota on that Super Bowl. So okay. I buy three balloons, right? I bought the logo balloons for the teams, and I bought the Super Bowl logo balloon. And as I'm going to the van, I'm just about to the van, and I'm about to shove the balloons in very carefully into the van, and boom, they come off the strings.
Oh, no, all three?
Rams. It was the Rams and Cincinnati.
Okay, it was the Rams, yeah. And the Rams won.
Yep. So the Rams and the Bengal balloons, boom, both of them come off the strings. And I've got the Super Bowl logo balloon.
Yeah.
I'm like, get out of here. And it did. The Bengals took off like you wouldn't believe. And in a matter of seconds, that thing has got to be 1,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, there it goes. And I'm like, look at it take off. Look at it soar into the stratosphere. Like Joe Burrow and his career is just taking off like there's no tomorrow. And the Rams one was kind of lower to the ground, kind of like Jalen Ramsey. I don't know. So I'm like, maybe I can still grab the Rams one. And I was trying to chase it through the parking lot on my little knee caddy, and I couldn't get to it. But that one eventually took off and eventually, you know, got about 100, 200 feet up, and then it took off and went its own way. So now I'm thinking, okay, so here come these, you know, F-22s or whatever they are, and they're shooting down random balloons. I'm thinking it probably took out my Rams and Bengals balloon from the other, you know, from a couple of years ago.
You don't think it was an Eagles Chiefs that happened to somebody? Like there's some guy out there who has the same exact dip container you have, and he had the same idea this year, and it was the Chiefs and the...
They might be.
The Chiefs and the Eagles go up there.
I'm willing to bet it was probably that Bengals balloon, because, man, that thing was going.
You don't think it made it to space?
No.
So you think for 2 years it's just been hovering at 20,000 feet?
Yeah, I think it. Okay. I think it made it. I think it made it to like Canada, for sure.
Just chilled out.
Just chilled out. It was there, and then boom, F-22 takes it up.
There's a Stinger missile hitting it.
Yeah, Stinger missile hits it, and then all of a sudden, you know, good old Joe goes, "We got him!" And he goes, "Holy shit, we didn't get him. It's a Bengals balloon. Don't tell him. Don't tell anybody." I think Biden and the boys are disappointed to know they got my Cincinnati Bengals balloon.
So they owe you for that then?
I think so. Yeah.
When you do your tax return this year, just throw in their Bengals balloon price. And then obviously you got to add inflation to it.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's been 2 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause then I had to go back in the store and they didn't have another one cause they were selling like hotcakes.
Well, yeah, it's a Super Bowl. There's only like two teams in it.
So I had to get some generic NFL balloons, just NFL football balloons, which...
I would have just picked up two other random teams.
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
Yeah, and but, people come over and go, wait, what? And you're like, no. This was my prediction. It was wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. My nephew would have went nuts, though. He's very detail-oriented. So and he's 11. Or at the time, he was 10. So he would have looked at me and went, why the Baltimore Ravens and and the Houston Texans? They're both AFC. And I would have said
that could have been your prediction.
Yeah, because I think they're awesome like that. I
predict halfway through one of them is going to jump to the other side.
Yeah, I just think one of them just defects to the NFC.
Yeah,
just because they know they could beat everybody, and then you know, and then they clash, and then. It's the loser bowl, not the Super Bowl.
The toilet bowl, as we like to call it.
Toilet bowl, yeah. And then they win. And then there's a big parade, and one of those teams just decides it's going to start playing hockey because it's not really doing all that well at football. I don't know.
It's a natural progression.
Yeah, it's a natural progression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's yeah. So somehow we started shooting down little kids' balloons everywhere. So we'll talk about that this week. One guy in England believes that he knows for a fact now that it's not aliens. It's just balloons. By the way, welcome to the party, pal. You're just now. Yeah, you're now just figuring out it's just balloons. We kind of had it pegged from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then when they came out and said, "Oh, it's balloons," we were like, "Oh yeah, we know that."
Yeah, yeah. We had it pegged all along. Other stories today. Launching dust from the moon could help cool our Earth.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Let's get some dust busters up there.
That's right. We're gonna hit the reverse button on our vacuums and we'll let that thing happen. A bus driver in Singapore actually spotted a ghost passenger on the vehicle security monitor. We'll talk about that today. Of course, AI is involved. AIIO. We'll talk about that today. Elon Musk even says, danger, Will Robinson. AI ain't a great thing. So we'll talk
about that. And he's a robot, so.
He is a robot.
Yeah, so he's telling us flat out. Hey, AI, not good. Nightmare fuel.
And a shocking ending to today's show. Is it supernatural? Probably not, but it's freakish. So we'll end on that note today because that's how we do things around here now. Let's see. I don't know what that means, Bruiser. I have no idea. But that's the way we do it now. So, you know, buck up and take it there, Skipper. That's what I say. It's the new pudding heart they put in me.
Hey, you're full of piss and vinegar.
I'm
full of pudding.
Piss and pudding. That's what I'm full of today. Piss and pudding. Which, by the way, is the name of my new album, Piss and Puddin'. It's coming out this fall on Arista Records.
Spoken word album, too, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Where I try to sing like William Shatner.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's your William Shatner.
Yeah. Piss and puddin', and piss. Let's start the news, shall we? A bloke, as it's put here from the Daily Star, who claims to be in touch with aliens, says the balloon scare has nothing to do with E.T. Surprise!
I'm glad the aliens cleared that up for us.
That's right. And tell us more about who did it with a candlestick in the library there, Mr. Detective. Alien mystic Daniel Scranton, who claims to receive regular transmissions from an alien group called the Arcturian Council, which sounds like an 80s new wave band.
I was going to say either that or it sounds like a Star Trek Federation.
Yeah. Says he's spoken to them about the Chinese surveillance balloon panic, which sounds like their first album, the Chinese surveillance balloon panic. You know something, Bruiser Tully, like I was in the record store the other day and I was like, listen, I need the new album from the Arcturian Council because they're so hot. And I'm wondering if you don't have it already, can I pre-order the Chinese surveillance balloon panic? Because it is going to be the album of the year. So I'm just wondering if you have that, the Chinese surveillance balloon panic. That's going to be so rad.
Wasn't that the name of the last Guns N' Roses album?
Chinese surveillance balloon panic. Yes, it was. Yeah. It was right after the spaghetti Western panic incident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That yeah. They're pretty good albums if you like trash.
Yeah, the new Guns N' Roses was terrible.
Oh. Is KFC Buckethead still with them? Or is it the original?
No idea. It's not the original. Slash hasn't been with them for years. Duff isn't with
Are you sure? I think Slash got back together with... I think it's almost everybody now. Why am I doing this, by the way? Are you seeing what I'm doing on Zoom?
Yeah, I was like, what
the fuck is this? What am I doing? I'm actually doing the... I'm actually doing the two PPs pressing together thing. I don't know what that is. I don't know. Again, it's the pudding heart they put in me over the weekend. I'm going to need to see a psychiatrist after the show. I think.
Yeah.
I think they put a goldfish heart in me over the weekend. That's what happened.
Okay. Well, make sure you get plenty of oxygen. I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's keep on with the story. The International Balloon Panic, which is the second album by this group, which has seen unidentified flying objects shot down over the U.S. I wish they'd stop calling these balloons UFOs.
Yeah, because they just say balloons.
Yeah, just say we shot a balloon.
Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Yeah, because they're identified now. They're no longer unidentified.
We blew up some fucking Mylar. Why don't they just say that?
Or call it an object.
Yeah, it's an object. Yeah. We shot something down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop. We identified. An identified object is what it is now.
Because here's what you've done. You've whipped up a bunch of people who are into the paranormal.
Yes.
They hear a UFO. We shot down a UFO. A bunch of people are now dancing in their living rooms. They're taking time off of work. There's a lot of people drinking a lot of Chardonnay in the middle of the afternoon. They don't need to do that, Bruiser, because they think aliens are coming.
Yeah, they think this is it. First contact.
Yep, first contact. People are starting to organize the parties. They've got the UFO welcome wagons all set up.
They ordered the UFO balloons.
Yep. Don't do that. They'll shoot them down. Yeah. Terrible idea. Terrible idea, as Charles Barkley would say. Terrible. But, you know, people are already celebrating. Don't do that. Don't call it UFO.
Yeah.
Not a UFO. Maybe a UBO.
An unidentified balloon?
Yeah, unidentified object. Balloon object. Yeah.
Sure, I'll go with that.
Yeah, all right, good.
They identified the balloons, though. Weather balloons or spy balloons.
But they're different types of balloons.
Okay.
It could be a kid's balloon. It could be a spy balloon. It could be
hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon, yeah. Yeah, okay. Unidentified balloon object.
Sounds good. UBO.
UBO. And also, it's also code for like a coworker that never showers. So when you're in the
UBO.
Yeah, UBO, you know, so when you're talking to your coworkers and that one coworker walks by and kind of crop dusts you with their BO, you can just point at them and go, UBO, you know, and thank you. You all can have that one for free.
And they turn around and go, what? And you're like, you heard about the UBO?
Yeah. UBO.
Blues. Balloons?
Yeah, no. Balloons. Yeah. They're shooting them down all over the world. Yeah.
We're showering them with ammo.
Yeah, showering them with it, yes.
It's like deodorant everywhere.
Yeah. The smell is amazing. The smell of victory.
We're cleaning up everything.
That's right. We're cleaning it all up. Yeah. So there's that. There's that.
So get out of here, Stinky.
I mean, wait. The International Balloon Panic, which has seen unidentified flying objects shot down over the U.S., Canada, and reportedly China. At least China says they're shooting down, or you know, they've had balloons flying over them too. I think they just want to feel loved. Has left many people worrying about a potential alien invasion. But one person who isn't worried is alien mystic Daniel Scranton. And I use those words loosely, alien mystic.
How does one become an alien mystic?
You got to pay $9.95. It's off a cereal box. You mail it in with a certain amount of box tops.
Can't do it online, huh?
No. It's an old-fashioned deal. Yeah. Yeah. It's all analog. Daniel says he has been verbally channeling higher dimensional beings in collective since 2010. One of the groups receives messages that he receives messages from is the Arcturian Council. They're the same people who told Tipper Gore about the lyrics in different rock songs.
Yep.
Yeah, and how it's bad.
They also put the comic book code into effect.
Yep, the comics code. Yep. They're bad people. Daniel says that the council, a group of transdimensional beings from another plane of existence, have told him that the U.S. Air Force hasn't shot down any alien spacecraft. Well, no shit, Sherlock, really.
Is he sure that this isn't just CNN?
Yeah.
Like, is this really coming from a council?
I think the Arcturian Council is a CNN.
It's like Adam Shepard or whatever his name is.
Yeah. The octagonal object hovering over Michigan's Lake Huron that was shot down by a USAF F-16 was definitely not an alien spacecraft, the extraterrestrial told Daniel. I think they're the ones that live in his head. Yeah. In fact, the USAF nearly didn't shoot down anything at all. Really? The first of the two $400,000 Sidewinder missiles. Did you hear this? That's how much these Sidewinder missiles cost that they're shooting down balloons with?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we should find a way to make those cheaper.
Yeah, right. like maybe we could throw a water balloon at it.
Like, hey, we got to lower the defense budget, huh? Well, let's work on making the missiles a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, if we fired a bottle rocket at it, that's cheaper. You know, like
they need to blow up. That's what you got to do safely. Yeah. Leave the plane and blow up.
Yeah, yeah. So the first of the two $400,000 Sidewinder missiles fired at the mystery craft failed to connect with its target. So there's 800 grand out the window.
Where do the missiles go?
Into a like, house or a school or I don't know.
I was gonna say, like, what happens to them when they miss? They just fly?
They end up in a Gettysburg field somewhere. I don't know. No, you know, this is why when that first spy balloon went across the country, they said, well, let's wait for it to get over water, because when you shoot and you miss.
You know, they just don't want missiles landing on people.
Yeah, they don't want it ending up in somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, surprise, you end up with a $400,000 Sidewinder missile in your backyard.
Mommy, I went to go jump on the trampoline. Yeah, why are you here? Well, I need you to come look at the trampoline. There's a missile.
I got a rocket ship for Christmas, Mom.
Mom, you're the best. You bought me a rocket ship.
Yeah,
so I haven't bought anything. Then what's in my treehouse?
It's right through the treehouse too, Mom.
It's kind of an expensive souvenir.
Yeah, it is.
So the first two failed to hit the target, and a second missile had to be fired to take out the strange object. That first miss led to some UFO watchers to speculate that whatever the object was had been equipped with some advanced defensive technology that enabled it to avoid or disable the state-of-the-art air-to-air missile.
And it's called bad aim.
Yeah, bad aim or air current, switching air current. This guy just looks skeevy. I'm going to show you his picture in a minute. Yeah, he just, you want to talk about a drunk actor. This is what he looks like. When General Glenn Van Herk, who oversees North American airspace for the U.S. Air Force, was asked if the military had ruled out the possibility that the balloons could be extraterrestrial, he replied that he hadn't ruled out anything. But Daniel claims he has the answers. Let's see here. As my story skips ahead to another story, that's always fun. He said, speaking through the U.S.-based sound healer, the Arcturian Council told us, we are very aware of the so-called UFOs that have been shot down in various locations across North America. We are also aware of the wild speculation that has gone on within the New Age community about what these objects really were. Now, we want you to all understand that your skies are filled with spaceships from all across the galaxy. I feel like I should be speaking like this. and from other dimensions. And we also want you all to rest assured that no one has shot down a spaceship. Something being a UFO does not make it a spaceship. Beavis.
Thank you, alien dude.
Thank you, alien dude. The council stressed that all of the objects that were destroyed were human-made craft. Oh, so even the council knew it was human-made craft.
Yeah, they're like, that's not ours. That's shoddy.
That's great. however, they added the entire balloon panic was part of a wider scheme to slowly disclose the truth about extraterrestrial visitors. You're being readied for that experience, they added. Thank you, Beavis.
So the balloons are getting us ready to meet the real thing. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You guys better have balloons.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to shoot down real alien spacecraft.
Yeah.
That's nice. Nigel Watson, author of UFOs of the First World War, Phantom Airships, Balloons, Aircrafts, and Other Mysterious Aerial Phenomena, told the Daily Star, "It is helpful that even the aliens say this current crop of sightings are human-made objects." I think somebody's buying into somebody's shit too much.
Yep.
Yeah. Many ufologists and commenters agree, and some think that this is a good wake-up call for better use of detecting, tracking, and dealing with enemy or suspect terrestrial UAPs. In a similar fashion, when Winston Churchill was first Lord of the Admiralty in 1912, he made use of sightings of a phantom airship over Sheerness to investigate tighter aerial navigation laws and to prepare our aerial defenses against potential aerial threats. Yeah, but I bet he didn't go around blowing up kids' balloons. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, he wasn't blowing anything up.
He wasn't going, "Good shot, I say. Take out that young child's balloon over there." All right, now I want to show you the skeevy guy who claims he talks to the Arcturian Council. And tell me, this doesn't scream flim-flam man to you. Right?
What is with the cheesy smile?
Right? Doesn't he look like
he's trying to look like the Joker?
Right. I was just going to say, doesn't he look like he's in line to try out for the Joker?
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, you're filming the new Joker, huh?"
He's all, "Wait till they get a load of me." Yeah, he definitely, he's got that.
No, he's definitely, he's the one that, he's going to sell you a bridge in, or a seaside, what is that? He's going to sell you a beach in Arizona or whatever. Going to
sell you a bridge in Bridgerton?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. We'll move on. Scientists' alien concerns after finding a space object sending signals to Earth. This is the one that we should be biting on.
Yeah.
Not the kids' balloons in the atmosphere, but Dr. Natasha Hurley-Walker and her team of researchers in Australia found an impossible spinning object in space that terrified them when it sent radio signals to Earth. A scientist became concerned when she thought signals being sent to Earth from space were being sent by aliens. Dr. Natasha Hurley-Walker was leading a team of researchers in Australia who found an impossible spinning object in space that sent radio signals to Earth every 18 minutes.
How can it be an impossible spinning object? I don't get that.
I don't know. That kind of sounds like a Dr. Seuss thing. Yeah, I don't know. She said, "I was concerned that it was aliens," said Dr. Hurley-Walker, "of the object 4,000 light years away from Earth, as reported by New Science in Nature." She said she broke out in a cold sweat and asked herself if this was the moment we finally found that the truth is out there. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh, big X-Files.
Yeah. The team from Curtin University. Now, that sounds made up. International Center for Radio Astronomy Research, or ICRAR, in Perth, Australia, was mapping radio waves in the universe when they made the discovery. She said she initially thought the findings made by student Tyrone O'Doherty. Boy, is that a name. Tyrone O'Doherty.
How is he not famous right now?
He comes from the bad side of Ireland.
Yeah. I want to have a beer with this guy. Guinness. Yeah.
Tyrone O'Doherty. Boy, that sounds like a bad In Living Color skit.
You think he's Irish?
I'm going to bite my tongue. So Tyrone O'Doherty was, they said that they thought initially the findings were just interference, but in an observation taken 18 minutes later when the source was, the source was again in exactly the same place and at exactly the same frequency, like nothing astronomers had seen before. She added, "At this point, I broke out in a cold sweat. There was a worldwide research effort searching for repeating cosmic radio signals transmitted at a single frequency." It's called the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or SETI. Get it? Was this the moment that we had actually or finally found that the truth was out there? She said this object was appearing and disappearing over a few hours during our observations. That was completely unexpected. It was kind of spooky for an astronomer because there's nothing known in the sky that does this. And it's really quite close to us, about 4,000 light years away, and it's in our galactic backyard. She realized that she had detected the source across a wide range of frequencies, so the power it would take to generate it could only come from a natural source, not artificial, and not aliens. So, interesting indeed.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Let's see what else we have here. Invisible asteroids. How do you like that?
I don't like that at all. That's terrifying.
Well, let's make it a little bit more terrifying. Invisible asteroids as big as Hiroshima bombs may strike Earth at any second.
See? No.
That's a little more frightening than balloons.
Yes, yeah. This is what we shoot down.
Yeah, these are the things we need to shoot down. A grim twist of physics means that there's a potentially unlimited number of asteroids that could be heading towards Earth, our little old planet, which are avoiding our detection methods. Yikes.
They discovered stealth.
That's right, stealth asteroids. That sounds dirty, too. I can't help it.
That's a dirty video game.
Yeah, it is. The Earth could be smashed into by an unknown number of invisible asteroids at any moment, an expert has warned. He then took another hit off his meth pipe and continued. No, I'm kidding. This was the case with the 19-meter-wide Chelyabinsk meteor, which plowed into the Russian airspace in 2013. I remember that one. It was huge. No one knew it was there. 1,600 people were injured by the massive shockwave, which was a size equal to 35 Hiroshima bombs. Scientists reckon the reason for this and the danger posed in the future all comes down to the glare of the sun, that according to Mail Online. Those same experts say an unknown number of rocks could also be on the way toward Earth in just the same way. With so many injured by Chelyabinsk, a new system called Near-Earth Object Mission in the infrared is being worked on to give people advance warning to help them stay safe in such an event. Known as NEOMIR, it is due to be released later this decade and will monitor things coming towards Earth from the direction of the sun. Richard Moisel, the European Space Agency's head of planetary defense, said asteroids the size of the Chelyabinsk meteor strike Earth roughly every 500 to 100, I'm sorry, roughly, roughly every 50 to 100 years. I'll get that right. I swear I will. He continued, injuries caused by air bursts or similar events could be prevented if people are informed of an oncoming impact and its predicted effects. With advance warning, local authorities could be able to advise the public to keep well away from windows or glass. NEOMIR will sit between the Earth and Sun, well out of the way of the Earth's atmosphere. Writing in the journal Science, periods and commas are so needed in today's articles. There's very little commas in today's articles. Writing in the journal Science, Scott Shepard from the Carnegie Institution for Science in Washington, D.C., explained more and more near-Earth objects were now being discovered. He explained this was because historically, telescopes were faced away from Earth to avoid the glare of the sun. But now new observations... You mean to tell me they're only facing one way?
Yeah. I was going to ask you the same thing. Like, wait, they're not towards the sun.
Oh, Jesus. So we're missing all the stuff that's coming at us from the direction of the sun?
Yeah. Hey, guys, you want to see a UFO? Turn around. It's like that. I just picture all of a sudden they turn a telescope towards the sun, and there's a bunch of aliens that just put their hands in here like, oh, hey, sorry. Jesus. We're here.
Jesus Christ. But now new observation equipment is being pointed in the other direction, finally, and allowing scientists to stop previously unseen asteroids. He said new telescopic surveys are braving the sun's glare. Braving the sun's glare. How brave of you. In searching for asteroids towards the sun during twilight. And we're not talking about sparkly vampires either.
Can you imagine, like, first time they tried to put a telescope at the sun, the guy looks in the eyepiece. Oh, my eye.
No, that hurts so much. Who brought drops?
We're not pointing it that way.
I can't believe a little bit of glare stopped us from potential danger.
I'm telling you, that's where all the aliens are. They're all stationed over there. It's like a scene from Star Wars where they pan over and there's all these Star Destroyers just lined up.
Un-effing believable. Wow. And finally, before we go to break, launching dust from the moon could help cool our Earth, scientists say. We don't have to keep getting warmer because of climate change. Proposals to fight climate change by blocking sunlight aren't new, but some experts argue the answer lies a little bit closer to home. To prevent further damage to the planet, humans need to limit global warming to no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius above previous industrial levels, experts agree. In a new study, researchers explore an outlandish way to help do that, launching dust into space from the surface of the moon to shade the Earth. To say the least, this would be an advanced feat of engineering. In a paper published last week in the journal PLOS Climate, researchers use computer modeling to explore how such a strategy might work. The most promising technique they found involves launching a massive amount of dust from the moon's surface toward the first Lagrange point, one of five areas of space where the Earth's and sun's gravity cancel each other out. There, objects like a gargantuan cloud of moon dust essentially stay in place. The specks could block about 1.8% of the sun's light, equal to about 6 days of sunlight per year, but it would take a whopping 10 billion kilograms of dust annually to do so. That, according to the authors, attempts to block the sun from space are currently among the very least feasible engineering projects to combat climate change due to financial, technical, and political challenges. Chad M. Baum, a behavioral scientist at Aarhus University in Denmark, who did not contribute to the paper, tells the Washington Post's Kasia Patel in an email, still some have claimed that seeing these kinds of climate solutions being discussed might bring home the urgency of the situation we're in. Over the years, scientists have proposed a variety of strategies for cooling the Earth by shielding it from the sun's rays. These range from deploying a cloud of small spacecraft to constructing a planetary sunshade that might stretch for thousands of miles. That writes Popular Science's Raul Rao. Researchers have also considered releasing aerosols into the atmosphere to aid cloud formation, but doing so could have unintended consequences, including impacting rainfall patterns and damaging the ozone layer. Using moon dust to block the sun has been proposed before. Theoretically, launching dust from the moon is easier than sending it from Earth because of the moon's weaker gravity. Benjamin Bromley, a co-author of the new paper and a theoretical astrophysicist at the University of Utah, tells CNET's Jackson Ryan, moon dust could also be an effective shield. First, it can be pretty efficient at deflecting sunlight. And second, it turns out that the most efficient grain size is the most plentiful on the moon's surface, Bromley told CNET. But it could take decades for the necessary mining infrastructure and launching system to get set up on the moon. Aaron Tang, who has the most interesting last name I've read today, studies efforts to address climate change at Australia National University and did not participate in the research. It seems a lot of people in this article didn't do that.
They're like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I don't need to read the stuff. Writes in the conversation, and ejecting the dust would require incredible amounts of energy, more than the energy used in 20,000 Saturn V rocket launches, according to the paper. That's just too much. Beyond the technological challenges, there's the question of how mining moon dust would be governed and whether it's even legal. I think we'll leave this article at that point because it seems like we're grasping at straws.
So they're not going to take my plan on just getting a bunch of industrial fans, line the moon with it, and turn them on?
Oh, that, you know what? That seems more logical. I think you've got the idea there, Bruiser. Yeah, industrial fans.
There we go.
I mean, why not? Because what they're proposing is absolutely ludicrous. Scientists have their hearts in the right place, but when it comes to actually, you know,
they're almost too smart for it.
Yeah, they're like, you know, it would take the energy of 20,000 Saturn V launches, but I think we could do it this way.
Yeah,
and you're like, come on, dude.
Go up and have a bunch of people sweep.
Yeah, just have people with brooms on the moon.
You know, get every nation, fly up a spaceship, you line them up, and you see you can do the longest burnout. Just kicking up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kicking up dust.
Burnouts with moon vehicles.
That'd
be about it, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of burnouts with moon vehicles, no, I'm kidding. if you want to keep from burning out, I've got something for you, Bruiser.
You do? What do you got for me from keeping burning out?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk AI. And you know what? The man himself, the man who supposedly came up with this whole gig, Elon Musk, is telling us AI ain't no good. And we're going to.
He's a robot. He knows.
He's a robot. He knows, as Bruiser said. We're going to talk about it when we come back. And then at the end of the program, we're going to end it on a freaky note. I know, we generally end it on a funny note, but today it's a little freaky. I can't tell you what exactly, but let's just say I don't think we can ever trust certain people ever again. That's coming up next. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday right here on the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Bruiser, how many times while riding a bus, whether it be in your school life or your professional life?
I used to drive school bus.
Did you?
I did for 2 years.
You ever see a ghost while driving the bus?
No, I have not. I've heard stories.
You're about to hear another one. A bus driver in Singapore spotted a ghost passenger on the vehicle's security monitor while he was driving. Interestingly enough, that bus driver in Singapore was left unsettled when his security monitor showed what seemed to be a passenger on the upper deck of the otherwise empty vehicle. And when he went to investigate the situation, the ghostly figure was nowhere to be found, interestingly enough.
That would be creepy.
Yeah.
I never thought how double-deckers, they do have to have a security thing, don't they?
Yep, absolutely. The eerie incident reportedly occurred last Friday morning at a bus depot as the man was finishing his overnight shift. Although the security system on the bus indicated that there was no passengers aboard the vehicle at that time, the driver was understandably taken aback when he looked at the screen and saw a dark figure sitting in one of the seats. Capturing the confounding moment on video, the man films the security monitor and muses, "It's too early for something supernatural to happen. How can there be someone upstairs?"
Well, it's too early for this shit.
That's right. It can happen anytime, bud. It can happen anytime. The bus driver then proceeds to the upper deck of the vehicle to confront the mysterious stranger, but quickly realizes that there's no one there. Irritated by the suspected paranormal passenger, the man is said to have cursed at the lingering spirit and ordered it to leave the vehicle so that he could finish up his work for the day.
I ain't working overtime. Get the hell off my bus.
That's right. I just want a nice, normal ride, damn you.
Too early for this supernatural.
That's right. The spooky video went viral on social media in Singapore and sparked something of a debate among viewers as to the veracity of the footage. One woman indicated that she believed that the ghostly encounter was genuine as her husband works at the bus depot where the strange sighting occurred and has shared similar stories with her in the past. More skeptical individuals, however, argued that the apparition was either a camera glitch or the bus driver crafted a clever hoax by filming old footage on the security monitor and then pretended to be scared.
Why would you go out of your way to do that?
That seems to be excessive, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For a few likes on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I got to ask you this. How much do you miss the old state of Wisconsin?
I don't.
You don't?
Don't miss it at all. Nope.
Not at all? You don't even miss the cryptids in Wisconsin?
I miss Beast of Bray Road, yes.
Yeah?
And then the dire wolves that are supposed to be up in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a story out there talking about the cryptids in Wisconsin this week and just kind of recapping what's out there. The Beast of Bray Road or the Wisconsin Werewolf. How many people call it the Wisconsin Werewolf?
That's like the side name. It's thrown out there. Not as much as you'd think, but it is an official title, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. was said to leave long claw marks on the cars of residents in Elkhorn. Reports of this creature continued throughout the 1980s and 1990s and described as a humanoid but wolfish monster. While sightings have become much more rare, the last was as recent as 2018. The Lake Winnebago water monster is also fearsome and is said the creature is able to eat an entire moose, bones and all.
Okay.
I believe you've done that in the buffet from time to time, right?
I have.
Yeah. I mean, that's not unusual. Many claim that the beast is a case of mistaken identity for a giant sturgeon. However, as the video points out, taking down a moose would be pretty intense for a sturgeon. Which typically doesn't reach more than 12 feet in length. There are very few predators capable of taking down a fully grown moose due to both their size and aggression, with only the Siberian tiger regularly preying on them in the wild. Moose can swim, and there have been documented incidents where they have been attacked by orca whales and at least one shark. I believe this is Bojo of Lake Mendota is another water monster.
Okay, this is new. I know where Lake Mendota is. I haven't heard this one.
Okay, but rather than go after moose, this one will go after women. I think Bojo's got good taste.
Yeah.
Possibly the best report of this beast was when a woman was relaxing on the dock with her legs dangling in the water, and she felt something begin to tickle the bottoms of her feet. She looked over at her boyfriend next to her, thinking he was being playful, but he was asleep. She claimed she looked back in the water to see the massive sea serpent licking her feet.
Oh.
Also, Bojo has a foot fetish.
Yeah. He's like, feet.
Feet. The Baraboo Devil's Lake Monster also claims home to Wisconsin, but it is described as tentacled and prehistoric looking. In 1950, a carcass washed up on the shore that left witnesses baffled. They said it had the body of a cow, but with nine tails and hairs all over its body. While there has been many other cryptids said to be found in the state, the most popular and beloved by locals seems to be Hodag of Rhinelander. Hodag.
There's Hodag days. I have a Hodag t-shirt. Yeah, Hodag's the man.
There you go. This beast is said to be born of the ashes of a cremated ox and is said to seek revenge on anybody who abuses oxen. It's described as having a head like a frog with the grinning face of an elephant. Although that seems like an unfair description of if Hodag doesn't have a trunk like an elephant, it says here. I don't know what that has to do with the price of tea in China. I got no idea. Let's move on. What is Project Montauk and why aliens time travel in the United States could be involved?
Okay.
Project Montauk was originally thought to be a fiction book, but the author who claimed it was not, and the place where he alleges it all took place does actually exist.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Social media has been running wild with conspiracy theories over the last week or so, with some involving a fictional book ever since the United States declared that it shot down a mysterious object over a lake. We call it a balloon. Project Montauk is believed to be a work of fiction, but its writer claims the time-traveling and human testing tales have truth to them, fueling conspiracy theorists after UFOs were shot down. Balloons! Just saying, Bruisers.
It was balloons.
It was balloons. The object shot down on Sunday, this past Sunday, February 12th. Well, actually, it's a little more than
two Sundays
ago, was the third strange object in the sky shot down in the past few days, even with top-ranking intelligence officials stumped as to what that could be. It was a balloon! A conversation heard between the pilots hurtling through the air reveals their confusion. Now, if you've heard new video, actually, there's new audio out there. Have you heard the new audio?
No, not yet.
As they're shooting down the balloon?
No.
They're actually questioning what it is they're shooting down.
Oh, okay.
Because they kind of realize it's a balloon.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are we really doing here?
Like, why are we shooting balloons?
Yeah, why are we shooting at balloons? One is heard saying, I wouldn't really call it a balloon. I don't know what. I can see it outside with my eyes. It's a balloon.
It's a balloon.
Military officials later described the object as an octagonal structure, but the pilot called it a container. It's a balloon.
A balloon that contains helium.
Yeah, it's a balloon. The lack of clarity as to what it is has sent users of sites such as Twitter and Reddit into meltdown. I don't know about meltdown. And flooded them with conspiracy theories. The bizarre theory, which involves time travel, teleportation, and mind control, contact with extraterrestrial life, and staging faked Apollo moon landings, first came to national attention in the 1990s via Preston Nichols. The writer produced a book called The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time, and told of time travel experiments taking place at the camp at the Camp Hero, which is found at the Montauk Air Force Base in Long Island, New York. The book claimed that experiments were conducted to do with teleportation, mind control, contacting aliens through a time tunnel, and injecting humans with a special serum in order to make metahumans, similar to comic book heroes and some villains. It was thought that the book was fiction. However, the site is real, and the author claimed he was periodically abducted and experimented on. He also claimed that his memories were repressed. The influence of this project allegedly continues to this day, with rumors around an old radar tower in the U.S. According to road trippers at the epicenter of this conspiracy, surrounded Camp Hero, it was a Cold War-era SAGE radar tower. The imposing structure was once a mother station to a series of smaller manned radar towers located in the ocean along the East Coast. The network of towers is said to have afforded the U.S. government an extra 30 minutes of warning time in the event of an incoming Soviet nuclear attack. And a local is quoted as saying, every 12 seconds, the radar tower would rotate and there would be animals freaking out and people getting headaches and bad dreams. And, you know, people's electronic equipment would go haywire. The entire project has never been commented on by U.S. officials for obvious reasons. And it is thought to that it was the original inspiration for Netflix hit Stranger Things, with Montauk supposedly being the original working title. So there you go.
Okay. My thing is, if they're kidnapping you to experiment on you, mm-hmm. once they're done experimenting on you, I'm pretty sure they're going to kill you.
You would think.
So you don't go out and write a book.
Right. You wouldn't think they'd keep you around for too long.
Yeah. Or they'd monitor you so you couldn't put out a book.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't think that they'd, you know, slip up and leave you around for days and days on end so that you could keep reporting on it or let the cat out of the
bag. It's a great conspiracy theory, but
yeah,
that part lost me. Like, if they're experimenting on you, they're not going to let you live.
We had a guest,
or go out in public.
We had a guest on, I believe it was Project Montauk years ago, who was on the show, who said he had studied Project Montauk for many, many years, had all this information. And then when we had asked him where he maintained or got all that information from, where he had farmed it all from, he said, well, I got it all from the internet. We're like, really? And he goes, yeah, got it all from the internet. We're like, oh, okay. He said, yeah. And we're like, oh. And then we asked him, and did it ever dawn on you that all of that was made up? And he said, well, they would never do that.
They're honest on the internet.
Yeah, they wouldn't do all that, especially with that project. Nobody would ever make all that stuff up.
Wikipedia doesn't lie.
We thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Did you laugh at him, or are you just like, okay, cool?
Oh, we kind of giggled and we let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if that's the crux of your information, that you got it all from the internet, well, don't think we have much left to say to you.
Yeah, like all of us can look this up. Cool, see ya.
Because we had asked the guy, do you have any solid sources? Have you talked to anybody who was involved with Project Montauk? No, I just got it all from the internet. All right, then.
Now you can't even come up with, well, I talked to a janitor who cleaned their toilets.
Yeah, nothing like that. There's nobody who'd ever, he hadn't talked to anybody who had ever stepped foot in anything having to do with Project Montauk. Never talked to anybody involved with it. Just, yeah, I got it from the internet.
Okay.
And wrote a book about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right, great. Sounds wonderful.
Yep. Thanks for the interview. See you later.
Thanks for talking.
Well, you're not going to promote your book.
Yeah, I could have done all that by reading articles. So yeah. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Bruiser, guess what?
What? Oh, no.
It's nightmare fuel time. Amazon unit ZooX is testing a robo-taxi on California city streets.
Good. You kill people in California. Go ahead. Called murder taxi.
I thought you said you'd never been to California.
I haven't.
Well, don't you want to go someday?
Well, if they send the herd before I get there, that's fine. I'm not going to go if they have murder taxis.
Murder taxis. It's better than Lyft. It's better than any other taxi service. It's murder taxi. ZooX, a self-driving vehicle company owned by Amazon, says it successfully carried passengers on public roads. Oh, God.
Gosh.
A development that helps the California company inch closer to bringing the vehicle to the general public. The company conducted the first run of its four-person robo-taxi with employees on board Saturday. That, according to the Amazon subsidiary. The vehicle, which doesn't have a steering wheel or pedals, ran a mile-long route between two ZooX buildings at the company's headquarters in Foster City, California. The carriage-style interior of the vehicle has two benches that face each other. It measures just under 12 feet long, about a foot shorter than the standard Mini Cooper, and travels up to 35 miles an hour. Oh, God, I'm going to show you a picture of this thing. You can see your death just
it's a murder taxi.
Looking at it. ZooX, which was founded in 2014 and bought by Seattle-based Amazon 6 years later, says its vehicles can navigate roads and avoid collisions. Before Saturday's test, the company said it completed testing on private roads and got necessary approval from California's Department of Motor Vehicles. With the tests now completed, ZooX says it's planning to launch a shuttle service exclusively for its employees. Oh, my God. All right. So if you're an Amazon employee, look, this looks just, Bruiser, like a coffin on wheels.
Oh, gosh. Yep. That's a murder taxi.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
If that gets... Okay, if that flips, all that glass is going to come in on all those people.
Yep.
Because that whole side and the whole front are glass.
Yeah.
That's not safe at all.
Nope. Unless it's bulletproof glass.
Yeah, let's make the AI bulletproof. That's smart.
I like how you put that. Yeah, that's smart. Make it bulletproof. That way we can't shoot it down when it decides to run us over, sons of bitches.
Exactly. Such a bad idea. Such a bad idea.
Well,
and didn't we in the past have AI racist stories? What if the AI of that car is racist?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, AI is still racist.
Yeah, and sexist, remember?
Not only is it racist, but I saw a story this week. I know some people are lean one way politically and lean another politically. I saw a story this week that ChatGPT leans one way politically. I'm not going to say which way it is, but it's going to piss off the other 50% of the audience. Yeah.
So these cars are going to just hunt people.
If you thought that was scary, Bruiser, are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the one that's going to get you, buddy. Are you ready? Here's the one. A military AI program successfully piloted a live F-16.
Good for you guys. Way to go.
Way to go. You guys are making my week.
Yep.
The defense.
We got murder taxis. Now we got murder F-16s.
Murder planes. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, just announced that their AI pilot program, ACE, which stands for assholes killing everybody.
And it's not called DARPA, it's DERP.
DERP-DERPA. That's right, ACE, assholes killing everybody. Go ahead, correct my spelling online, will ya? Has moved out of computer simulated dogfights to flying real F-16s.
Why?
I don't know. Why? I don't know.
I get why, but it's gonna go bad.
Yeah, it is. The flights occurred at Edwards Air Force Base in California, and a safety pilot was on board the plane just to bang against the glass and scream.
This thing just said it's going to kill me.
Actually, he was there to take control if anything went wrong, but nothing did, according to them. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Hal Heffron, the DARPA program manager for ACE, again, assholes killing everybody, said, "We conducted multiple sorties or takeoffs and landings with numerous test points performed at each sortie to test algorithms under varying starting conditions against various simulated adversaries and with two simulated weapons capabilities. We didn't run into any major issues, but did encounter some differences compared to simulation-based results, which is expected or to be expected when transitioning from virtual to live." In 2020, the ACE AI defeated experienced human Air Force pilots in simulated dogfights every time.
Yeah, see? Look at that. Perfect. Way to go.
Yeah.
Now when it turns on us, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to die every time. Which is very different from the other DARPA AI test where Marines easily defeated the bot by wearing cardboard boxes. That's just
stupid AI.
Stacy Pettijohn, the director of the defense program at the Center for a New American Security, told The New Yorker, "The ACE program is part of a wider effort to decompose our forces into smaller, less expensive units. In other words, fewer humans and more expendable machines. DARPA calls this mosaic warfare. In the case of the aerial combat," Pettijohn said, "these much smaller autonomous aircraft can be combined in unexpected ways to overwhelm adversaries with the complexity of it. If any one of them gets shot down, it's not as big of a deal. In addition to swarms of AI-powered aircraft, DARPA imagines collegial cooperation between soldiers and AI on the battlefield, according to their AI Next campaign DARPA envisions. A future in which machines are made, or rather are more than just tools that execute human-programmed rules or generalize from human-curated data sets. Rather, the machines DARPA envisions will function more as colleagues than tools." They're tools.
Instead of spending the money on this, why don't we spend the money on how to find out to make our Stinger missiles less than $400,000 each?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I'd agree with that. The takeaway here is that there are two different ways these folks are imagining turning AI into killing machines. So there's that. There's that. Two more stories left for Supernatural News Bruiser.
Oh, this is where the robot talks to us, right?
What's that?
This is where the robot talks to us, right?
This is where the robot, yeah. You call him a robot. He's Elon Musk. He co-founded the firm behind ChatGPT and warns AI is one of the biggest risks to civilization.
The guy who created it is telling us that.
Yes, the guy who created it is telling us that. ChatGPT shows that artificial intelligence has gotten incredibly advanced and that it is something we should all be worried about. That, according to tech billionaire Elon Musk, "One of the biggest risks to the future of civilization is AI," Musk told attendees at the World Government Summit in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, shortly after mentioning the development of ChatGPT. Also, he's like, by the way, look at this great ChatGPT. And oh, by the way, this is the worst thing ever to happen in the history of the world.
Hey, check out this program. Oh, by the way, the end of the world is this program.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Musk said it's both positive or negative and has great, great promise, great capability. But he stressed that with that comes great danger. The Tesla, SpaceX, and Twitter boss was asked about how he sees technology developing 10 years from now. Musk is co-founder of OpenAI, the U.S. startup that developed ChatGPT, a so-called generative AI tool which returns human-like responses to user prompts. ChatGPT is an advanced form of AI powered by a large language model called GPT-3. It is programmed to understand human language and generate responses based on huge bodies of data. ChatGPT has illustrated to people just how advanced AI has become, according to Musk. The AI has been advanced for a while. It just didn't have a user interface that was acceptable to most people. Accessible to most people. Whereas cars, airplanes, and medicine must abide by regulatory safety standards, AI does not yet have any rules or regulations keeping its development under control, he added. I think we need to regulate AI safety, frankly, Musk said. It is, I think, actually a bigger risk to society than cars or planes or medicine. Regulation may slow down AI a little bit, but I think that might be a good thing, Musk went on to say. The billionaire has long warned of the perils of unfettered AI development. He once said artificial intelligence is far more dangerous than nuclear warheads.
Oh, jeez.
His words have more gravity today as the rise of ChatGPT threatens to upend the job market with more advanced human-like writing. Musk left OpenAI's board in 2018 and no longer holds a stake in the company. Initially, it was created as an open source nonprofit. Now it is closed source and for profit. I don't have an open stake in OpenAI, nor am I on the board, nor do I control it in any way, Musk said. Part of the reason for Musk's decision to establish OpenAI was because Google was not paying enough attention to AI safety, he said. ChatGPT has led a heated battle between Google, a titan of internet research, and Microsoft, which has invested in OpenAI and integrated its software into its Bing web browser. Google fired back at ChatGPT with its own rival tool called Bard. The company is playing catch-up as investors question whether ChatGPT will pose a threat to its dominance in web search. Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the guy who invented it telling us not to use it because there's no safety precautions.
Essentially, yeah. Essentially. And if you're ready for this last story, folks, get ready to get creeped out. We'll let you take a moment to gather your breath, sit back, relax, and get ready to rock back and forth a little bit and cringe. It turns out that there's certain people in the world, and I'm not picking on any one particular people in the world, will take anything and make it cringy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cringy and sexy. It's the two things you turn stuff into.
Cringy and sexy. That's going to be the name of our act out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll dress up in old-timey clothes and we'll call ourselves Cringy and Sexy. We'll let people decide which one they think is which.
Yes, when they say who's cringy, who's sexy, we just point at each other.
That's right. That's right. A Japanese artist is turning heads with his freaky flesh-like accessories.
It's like Ed Gein accessories.
I kind of think so. I'm going to show you a little picture here as we get into the article here, Bruiser.
So we can really get a nipple belt. All right.
Yes, you too can get a nipple bandolero and wear it around. A Japanese DJ has found a new calling, making freaky flesh-like Bruiser.
Gotcha.
Accessories such as severed finger ink stamps, pendants with blinking eyes, and purses with gaping mouths and stubble, inspired by horror movie special effects.
Well, I should talk to my daughter. She does special effects. See if she can make me a nipple belt.
I'm sure she'll love this. After his first artwork in 2017 was pictured on the cover of his debut album. See, everyone's got an album these days.
Everyone's got an album. Yeah, yep.
We need an album. Music mixer wrapped in a silicone flesh coating. Masataka Shishido. Shishido, I'm sorry. Also known as DJ Doe, or Doe, it's DJ Doe, I believe, has been commissioned to make dozens of other offbeat creations. In the beginning, almost everyone felt it was gross. Shishido, who is 36 years old, told Reuters, wearing a disco ball with a blinking eye on a chain around his neck.
This is creepy. Hey, man, your necklace is blinking.
All I hear in the background of my mind is, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. Once people learned that it's an artwork with some specific function, they started saying that it's cute and interesting, or they're just chastising you in your own little world.
They're being polite.
Yeah. Shishido says his art is often made to custom order by customers who request their own body parts on the items. Fine.
Yeah, no. No.
Yeah. He draws the designs by hand before a Tokyo studio called Amazing Studio JUR takes up to 2 months to turn the concept into reality. Yikes. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. The bespoke items do not come cheap. USB devices and the ink stamps in the shape of fingers cost around 150,000 yen or $1,166. While the disco ball he wears costs about 580,000 yen or $4,500. All right. His art has caught the attention of celebrities, Shishido said. American rapper Lil Yachty. I'm sorry, I don't want to be accused of mispronouncing his name.
And it's Yachty.
Is it Yachty?
No, it's Lil Yachty.
It's Lil Yachty? Is that how they say it?
I'm an old man. I don't know who that is.
Lil Yachty. Posted a video of himself clutching one of his blinking balls on social media in 2021. Oh, look at Lil Yachty and his blinking balls. Out on the streets of Tokyo, his creations are also turning heads. It's like so realistic that it definitely takes you by surprise, said Laura Teal, who's only 22 years old and an Australian tourist who stopped to ask Masataka about the artwork hanging from his neck near the capital's bustling Shibuya crossing. He said, it feels too real. He said, I feel it's too real. I feel a little bit gross, but it's really cool, she said. Yeah, so here, I'll show you, Bruiser.
Serial killers everywhere going, yes, I can finally wear my skin suit.
It does look like someone has chopped out a section of your skin.
Ooh.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Those are real realistic.
Yeah. Like someone's chopped out a subsection of your skin and kept your lips, or a subsection of your skin and kept your eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Just, yeah. So anybody who's just wanted to carry their cock around with them, you know, you can do it now. I don't know why I went automatically to that, but I did.
It's like a flashlight.
It's like a flashlight. Yes, there you go. Like a flashlight. So that'll do it for today for Supernatural News. I have to do it twice like a announcer, like an overhead announcer.
Yep.
Tomorrow on the show, the Slipstream Shaman, Todd Wilcox, is our guest tomorrow. He is going to discuss how we can learn how to use our natural abilities in quantum healing. We'll also talk about the quantum room and how it is so effective in helping in this healing. We'll talk about why shadow people are so important. We'll talk about how the Slipstream Shaman himself is so helpful in paranormal investigating. We'll also talk about his near-death experience and near-death experiences in general. And we'll talk about why Bigfoot is one of his spirit guides. That and much, much more tomorrow on Darkness Radio. The Slipstream Shaman is our guest, Todd Wilcox. There you go. So tell us real quick, Bruiser, what you got going on this weekend?
I am in Winston-Salem for AML Professional Wrestling. I am wrestling Billy Brash for the second time.
Bill Brashke!
I'm going to beat him up.
Beating up Bill Brashke!
Bill Brashke!
Going to have a couple of tall drinks and beat up Bill Brashke!
I'm so using it in the match tomorrow, Saturday.
There you go. It's all yours to use, buddy. Me, I'm going to figure out how to turn my now chocolate pudding heart into chocolate fondue.
Ooh.
I'm going to work on that this weekend. Much to that liar, Belinda, over at Care 11 in the weather department, there are no chipmunks out this time of year. last week or the week before, she said, oh, early chipmunk risers are out there now. So the chipmunks are out now. Chipmunks don't come out until April.
Yeah.
Like late March, early April. So she lied to me. So Belinda, you lied to me over there at Care 11. So I can't sit out and hang out with my chipmunks this weekend. So I'm going to figure out how to turn my, heart into a fondue fountain.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that this weekend. Let's see. Second of all, I want to thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers. I haven't done that yet. So I want to thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers and keep them coming. Cause there's a long road of cardiac, therapy coming up. And and there's some other things going on here. So keep your thoughts and prayers coming. I appreciate it. It's tough to get through these shows right now. I'll just put it that way.
You're doing great.
But thank you. So but thank you very much for keeping me in your thoughts and prayers. It's appreciated. But join us tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us again today, folks, for Supernatural News. Again, Parashare. We need your Parashare stories. If you have Parashare stories, either send an email to tim@darknessradio.com or you can simply go to darknessradioshow.com. There's a blue button on the right-hand side of the website. Click on that blue button. You've got a two-minute audio loop, for lack of a better term, where you can tell your story. If you need more than 2 minutes, just click on it again and leave another 2 minute loop. I'll piece those together and we'll play your story right here on the air, and Bruiser and I will weigh in on it. So send us your Parashare stories. We need those Parashare stories. We want to start playing them again here on the show. So do that during the weekend, and we'll play them here next week on Supernatural News. For Beer City Bruiser, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for tuning in to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio.